today we're starting a new series called Let It Go. Now, I'm fully aware that as I say that, there's a Snow Disney Princess song humming through your head. Let it go. I understand that, okay? However, there's not a better title. So we're just going to have to deal with it, all right? You have to let the Disney thing fade off because we're going to talk about forgiveness. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about deep forgiveness. What I mean by that is, like, when you are betrayed or you are wounded deeply, how do you forgive? And then the week after, we're going to talk about how do you forgive yourself. But today, we're going to start a little bit lighter on something that I think applies to, you know, most of us, if not all of us, and that is letting go of offenses. Letting go of offenses, the small little things that seep in and make us angry and critical or bitter people over time. So let me ask you all a question this morning. How many of you know someone that's easily offended? Don't point. Do not look at them because they're easily offended and they'll get offended, right? And if you don't know someone easily offended, it's probably you. So I mean, I'll just go ahead and, you know, put that out there. We live in such a triggered society, offended all the time. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's someone, you know, they gave you a facial expression that you don't know how to interpret and you don't like, or they roll their eyes at you, or maybe it's the edge in their voice, or maybe you sent them an email and they didn't reply, you sent them a text and they didn't reply. And I hate when I send somebody a text and I see those little bubbles moving and go, I know you read it because I saw the bubbles. And you started to reply and then hours go by or days go by and you never hear from them and you go, there were bubbles. So I know you saw it, but you didn't reply. Now you're ghosting me, and I don't know why. Let me give you some advice also. If you're easily offended, why don't you just go ahead and get off social media and delete all the apps and pretend you don't know it exists? Because social media is like walking through a minefield covered in barbed wire with sprinkler heads that spray acid on you as you go by. There's no easier way to be offended in the whole world than to just scroll on social media over and over and over. We live in an age of perpetual offense. We're so quick to get offended and to criticize and to judge and to become bitter. Now look, I'm not pointing the finger at anybody because I'm just as bad as everybody else. I want you to know, confession is good for the heart, right? That's what the Bible says. So let me give you a confession. But my preface to the confession is this. I want you to know that I'm mostly saved, and most of the time I'm a good Christian, okay? I just want you to put that out there. However, I do have gaps in my life that I struggle with. One is like when I'm driving. There's nothing that irritates me more than a person who's driving that's indecisive. You know what I'm saying? They've got their blinker on right, but they're fading left. And you go, I don't know, you know, what are we doing here? Or they're just kind of 10 or 15 miles an hour below the speed limit. They're just kind of dragging along. Or they'll tap their brakes, you know, excessively every second. I don't know what we're trying to do here. Drives me insane. And sometimes, and I don't know why, you know, God in his what sense of humor maybe places all of them directly in front of me everywhere I go. I don't know why it feels that way. And I get stuck behind one and I'm just chewing their bumper up, you know. And every now and then I'll hit them with a little highlight. Bow, 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 bow. Let's go. And I don't know Morse code, but I think I do in that moment. So I'm like, hurry, let's go. I'm talking, let's go. Trying to translate it into the light. And sure enough, I'll just be chewing their tail up and flashing their lights. And then they pull into the church and I go, I don't know what I'm going to do now. Like, I'm in trouble. I can't pull out and go, praise God. You know, I'm so glad you're here. So, you know, I just go down to the Milo's and turn around and be like, that's a different car. I was coming from a different direction. That wasn't even me. I don't even know what's happening. The other thing that irritates me when I'm driving is there are people that, despite all wisdom and in the face of all common sense and every traffic law ever written, deeply believe they have a better way for traffic to flow than all of that. And I got behind one of those the other day coming out of my neighborhood, and they're there, and you know, they go to go, and then they don't go to go, and it's like they're up there cooking breakfast and making their taxes and trying to decide, and, you know, and I'm like, what are we doing? Like, do one clear thing. Like, I have no idea what's about to happen. And they're like waving people in off the highway. You're like, no, you have the right. What do you do? You have the right of way. Just go. And it's just bubbling up. And finally, they, you know, they always feel like the back of their car drags the ground. And they, you know, and they kind of get out because they're not really going anywhere. And so finally, I got out and I fired out, you know, like a cork popping out. Poof, I fired out of the neighborhood. And the frustration bubbled up, and I just said, what an idiot. You didn't know pastors talk like that, did you? I told you his confession. I said, what an idiot. And then I stopped and I went, what? Why am I so frustrated about something like that? And then this wave of, like, not guilt, because God doesn't speak like that, but like conviction came over me, and I went, God, I don't want to be that kind of person. I don't know the person in front of me. Why do I pretend like I do? I don't even know who they are. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know why they do. Why do I pretend that being an idiot is the reason they did what they did? I don't know them. Why am I judging them? And I just started to repent, and I said, God, I'm sorry. It's not about them. They don't even know any of this went on back here. They're just doing, who knows what they're doing. But I know what I'm doing, and it's about me, and it's about my heart, and it's about my mind and my life. And I said, God, I want to love people. I don't want to judge people. And I'm mostly sure that I won't do it again because God might make me come and tell you again, and it's so embarrassing. I don't want to do that. So I'm pretty sure that I'm mostly cured, but you'll pray for me, I'm sure. Can I tell you one thing that I've learned? If you're looking to be offended, you'll always find what you're looking for. You'll always find what you're looking for. And by the way, when you're offended, you never win. You never win. You never wake up one day and say, today's such a great day. You know why? I'm carrying that offense from last week, and it's made the day so good. Or you know what? Being angry at my spouse, being bitter at this person, it's made my relationship so much better. You know what? I'm living my best life for God right now, and I'm so effective. You want to know why? Because I'm bitter. And it's made me so effective. I don't know any bitter people that are effective. Not in the kingdom, not with things that really matter. So here's the thing. You and I are God's sons and daughters. We're called to reflect his glory. But we live in a toxic culture of perpetual offense. So how do we do it? And let me just simply share this thought with you that I hope you'll grab and assimilate into your spirit. Here it is. My life is too short and my calling is too great to be offended by something small. Would you say that with me? My life is too short and my calling is too great to be offended by something small. That's good medicine, isn't it? Because the Bible says your life is a mist. It's like somebody shot something out of a spray bottle and it's a mist that just floats through the air. Your life is disappearing. It's short. It's really short. And it's too short to get hung up on things that don't matter in the big picture. And you know what? Your calling is way too great. You've been called to love God and to love people, and your calling is way too big, and it's way too important, and it's way too great to get hung up on little things that really don't matter. It's too great for us to be offended and distracted. Proverbs 19:11, I want to look at it, and we'll come back later and look at it again, says a person's wisdom yields patience. In other words, it's a wise person who grows in patience and shows patience. It is to one's glory, it is to your credit to overlook an offense. So, can minus the Disney song, can we say it together, let it go? Right? That's what God is calling you and I to do, is just let it go. Somebody cut you off in traffic, let it go. Somebody said something that rubbed you the wrong way, let it go. Somebody hasn't responded you to a text or an email, let it go. Because it's not worth the weight. It's not worth the burden. It's not worth slowing you down. It's not worth distracting you. Now, how do we do it? It's easy to say. How do we do it? How do we get past all the little offenses? Well, there's something that happens maybe hundreds of times a day, at least dozens of times a day in all of our lives, that if we'll slow it down, kind of slow the footage down, pause it, and look at what's actually happening, it'll help us. It's this. In life, there's always an action and then a reaction. Somebody says something, they do something, and then we react. However, there's this little micro gap. There's this little microsecond in the middle, a millisecond in the middle between the action and the reaction where we are trying to interpret what a person has said or what they have done. What is the meaning behind what that person just said or that look they just gave me or that communication or that action? What's the meaning? And so this happens so many times a day, we're not even aware of it. And most of the time, we're not aware that there's an actual gap. Even when we are aware there's an action and reaction, which we tend to be aware of, we're not aware of the little millisecond micro gap in the middle where we're trying to interpret. Now, here's the key. The key is, what do you put in the gap? Because what you put in the gap is going to determine a lot about what happens next. It's going to determine how you react. It's going to determine what you say, and it's going to determine how you leave that encounter and how you think about that encounter as the day moves on. That gap is the smallest piece, but it's the most important one. So, for example, if somebody's in front of you, I don't know, driving poorly, how you interpret their action is going to determine a lot about how you feel and about what you say. And about the perception and opinion that you form. That's what's going to happen. And we do this all day, every day. Here's the problem, though. You want to know the problem? Here's the problem. We are horrible interpreters. We're terrible. I am, you are. We are horrible interpreters. We're just not good at it. And we know this, and you know how we know it? By how many times people misinterpret our words and actions. You ever been misread? You know why? Because we're horrible. We're just not good. In Emotionally Healthy Relationships by Pete Scazzaro, he actually calls this mind reading or making assumptions. And one of the big steps that you and I can take to improve all of our relationships, he teaches, is stop trying to read other people's minds. Stop pretending like you know what they think and you know why they did what they did and you know what they meant by what they did. Stop trying to interpret or make assumptions. And you know why? Because when we make assumptions, listen to this, making bad assumptions undermines relationships. Sometimes people leave marriages over bad assumptions. They quit jobs, they leave churches, friendships end because of wrong assumptions. People sometimes get sick because they worry themselves to death and they replay the account over and over and over and over in their head because they're convinced that they know what that person meant by that. And it makes them sick. Sometimes we lose sleep at night. We lay awake at night because we go, I can't believe what they were trying to do. I can't believe. And we're making an assumption, and so much damage and pain is caused in our life and in relationships and the kingdom of God over what? Wrong assumptions. You know why? We're horrible interpreters and we're horrible mind readers. So, we have this tendency to explain our behavior by our circumstances, but we explain other people's behavior by their character. In other words, if we do something, we say, but you don't understand. Don't judge me by what I did. My life's crazy right now. If you understood my circumstances, you would know why I did what I did. Because for us, there's a whole context that explains what we do, right? But when somebody else does something, we go, I knew it. They're just all about themselves. They're a bad person. And we assign it to their character. Let me give you an example. You take your little child into a store, and the child throws a fit. And what are you saying? Oh, my goodness, please don't judge me as a parent. Please don't judge my child. It's been such a hard week. We've all been sick. We haven't got enough sleep. We've been battling this. We've been battling that. We've had no snack today. You know, I should have already stopped, and we need to change the diaper and whatever. Oh, the toy fell out of the car on the way. There's all these circumstances that explain. You go, my kid's just having a bad day. Give them a break. But you walk in the store and somebody else's kid throws a fit. What do? I can't believe those parents would let that kid get away with that. They're lazy parents. They're bad parents. That's a terror in the making. Let's get out of here. Don't look at me like you're innocent. Right? You know that's how we think sometimes. There's always a gap. And you get to choose what you put in the gap. However, if it's not complicated enough yet, let me add one more layer. And that is that you and I have a spiritual enemy named Satan. And do you know what the Bible says that he does? It says that he accuses the sons and daughters of God day and night. A matter of fact, it's so much one of his functions that one of his names in the Bible is accuser. He's named the accuser. And so what does he do? He comes throwing accusations at God's people day and night. And what does he say? He says things like, who do you think you are? Why did you think you could even read the Bible and get anything out of it? Who? You're not worthy. You're not good enough. You shouldn't even show up at church. Those people are better than you. And he accuses, and he accuses. Did you think you would ever be better than your parents? Did you ever think that you would overcome the problems that they had? And he accuses, and he accuses, and he throws these bombs at us over and over and over. And he tries to fill every gap in the universe with an accusation. And you know what he wants you to do? The same thing. He wants you to fill every gap in every interaction, in every conversation, in every mistext, in every wrong look, in every edgy tone. He wants you to throw an accusation in that, because never will you be more like him than when you do that. So when we say, well, I can't believe what they did, she's all about herself, or he doesn't care, you can't trust anyone, everybody's in it for themselves, the devil wants you to do that. Why? Because listen, it breaks down relationships. Now, why does that matter? Because the kingdom of God is built out of relationships. The church is not a company. It's not an organization. It's not a government. It is a gathering of God's people who are relationally connected together by love. And if you break that down, you break down the kingdom of God. You break down God's work. That's why Satan attacks it so hard. But it starts with this simple, innocent-looking, sometimes little seed called an accusation. And when you live like that, when I live like that, we live more like Satan than we live like Jesus. Because Satan wants you to fill in every gap with accusation. Watch this. God wants you to fill in every gap with love. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Love. What does that mean? That means that you make a decision in the gap to give the person the benefit of the doubt, because you might not know everything that led to that moment. It means that you assume the best, not assume the worst. Ephesians 4:2 says, always be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults, because of your love. Why? Because of your love. Because God loves you and God forgave you and God gave you love. So now, because of that love that God gave you, base what you insert in the gap on what God gave you, not on what Satan's trying to give you. And also realize that, look, sometimes other people's behavior, this is a newsflash. It's a newsflash for me. It's a newsflash for you. It's a newsflash for all of us. Sometimes other people's behavior isn't about you. Sometimes it actually has nothing to do with you. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they're facing a battle you can't possibly understand. Maybe they just got bad news. Now, the question that's sort of boiling under the surface is, but what do you do if they meant to be mean to you? What if they did it on purpose? What if they said or did something in a mean way and they were trying to be mean? Well, there's two things we can do. One is we can try to back up and understand that although what they may have done in the moment wasn't good, they may be living under a lot of pressure that we can't see that brought that out of them in that moment. And it still might not actually have anything to do with us. We might just happen to have been standing there when it happened. They may have just yelled at us or flew off at us or whatever, or ghosted us. And it may have something to do with the pressure that's in their life currently that's pushing it. Here's the other thing that I think is very helpful. Sometimes those events happen because that person has a painful past. And if you grew up the way they grew up, or you were treated the way they were treated, or you had the kind of situation that they had, you might begin to understand they might have gone through some things that made them bitter or angry or hateful or broken. And here's the thing about that. That doesn't make us mad. That makes us sad. Because God never wanted anybody to go through those things. God never wanted anybody. And for whatever reason, they haven't found healing yet. But it helps sometimes to back up when you have a moment like that, or you have a string of moments with the same person over and over and over, to back up and instead of filling the gap in with the accusation that they're a bad person and they don't care and whatever, sometimes it's helpful to back up and say, I wonder how they got that way. I wonder what happened to them. I wonder who hurt them. I wonder what the story is here. And what that does is that begins to build compassion and empathy inside of us instead of being offended, because we know that hurt people hurt people. And people who hurt people are usually hurt. And it gives a little compassion and space and allowance. So look, there's always going to be a gap. You get to choose what you put in the gap. If you put accusations in the gap, you're always going to be offended. And you're always going to focus on what they did and what she did and what she didn't do and how they looked at me and what they, and it's going to be a cacophony. It's going to be a tornado of all of this noise of what they did and what everybody's doing and how the world's wrong and what they're all doing to you and me and everybody else. And you're never going to wake up one day and go, I'm at such a good place because I spend most of my time dwelling on what other people do wrong. It's never going to make your life better. Proverbs 19:11, let's look at it again. A person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. What does it mean to overlook an offense? It's not the same thing as pretending that it didn't happen. You are not, God never calls you to pretend that something offensive that happened did not happen. That's not to your glory. That's not wisdom. That's denial. And God never calls you to deny reality. What he does call you to do is acknowledge that it happened and let it go. To acknowledge that he said, she said, they did, whatever. I see what happened. I hear it. I'm not pretending like I'm not in the room. I'm not going to bury it somewhere and pretend. But in real time, in the moment, to make the intentional decision, I'm going to fill the gap in with love and I'm going to let go. And I'm not going to let it resurface later. I'm choosing. I am a child of God with the authority and the power that God's given me, and I have the ability to make an intentional choice to let this go, and therefore I will let it go, and I will not bring it up to them again, and I won't bring it up in my mind again. I'm done. You know, we always say I'm done with a lot of stuff. Wouldn't it be good to be done with offense? I'm done. Instead of focusing on the offense and replaying it over and over and over in your mind, and then thinking about, You know what we do when we're offended is we look back and go, well, I wish that would happen again because I wish what I would have said was, or the next time that happens, I'll be ready. That's not letting it go. That's arming up. But what did we say? Tell yourself in that moment, my life is too short and my calling is too great to be offended by small things. My life is too short and my calling is too great. So what you're doing when you make that choice, when you fill the gap in with love, is you are rising above the offense and you are rising to your calling, which is to love God and to love people. But the devil wants you to accuse. He wants to drag you down. No one's ever changed the world by being bitter. I want you to imagine for a minute if Jesus, can you picture Jesus doing this? I just want you to picture in your mind, I want you to picture whatever image you can conjure up of Jesus. I want you to picture him walking the earth with the disciples, walking around offended. And he just stomps in his sandals and his robe, and he goes, I can't work in these conditions. This is terrible. I mean, I'm telling the best parable the world's ever heard, and Mark fell asleep. He's not even listening. Can you believe this? This is outrageous. The Pharisees keep giving me these dirty looks. I'm not in the mood to do miracles. I'm just not in the mood. And the Apostle Peter, I don't know what he's doing. He's for me, he's against me, he's for me, he's against me, he's for me. He knows me, he doesn't know me. Know me, he doesn't know me. I don't know what's up with that guy. You know what? Forget it. No miracles. I'm not walking on water. I'm done. And Thomas, he doesn't believe anything I say. Why do I even talk? Can you imagine Jesus doing this? No! You know why? His life was too short. It was only 33 years, and his calling was too great to be offended by small things. No, he was on mission, and his mission was about love, and he rose above the thousands of offenses and rejections that were thrown his way because his calling was too great. Your calling is to be a person of love. You are called to be a person of love, so let it go. Man, this is an important message in a toxic culture of perpetual offense. But you've got to make an intentional decision. I'm not going to be distracted by the noise of our times. I'm not going to get in social media thread comment battles. I'm not going to be offended by my politics. I'm not going to separate myself from hateful people that God has called me to love. And I'm not going to defend my theology in anger and hatred. Where's the fruit of the Spirit in that? The devil tries to pull you down, and he tries to pull you down, and he tries to pull you down, and he tries to program you like he is, and like the systems of the world is, and like the culture of our world is, and like the toxic climate we live in, to accuse and accuse and accuse and accuse and accuse and accuse. But let me tell you something. The next time he tries to do that, let me give you a weapon that will absolutely demolish the strategy of the enemy. The next time he does that, you tell him, you're not going to get me down, and I'm going to tell you why. You tried to pull Jesus down, but he has resurrection power, and he came back from the grave, and the Bible says that the same power that brought Jesus back from the dead lives in me. So I'm going to rise above this offense, and I'm going to live over it. You're not going to get me down. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I tell you, God wants you to be free. He wants you and me to live in freedom. Lord, today, minister freedom. Just through the normal course of life, so many things attach themselves to us. So many wounds and frustrations and hindrances, and it's just like every day, just a little more weight can be added, and the next thing we know, we're dragging around all this stuff that you never meant for us to carry. But God, I'm asking you today to just minister freedom in this place. Lord, freedom online as people are watching, that we would know the grace and love of God today and walk with faith and freedom. Would you just ask as we sing this last song, would you just ask the Holy Spirit to move in your heart? Holy Spirit, move in my heart. I want to be a son or daughter of God. I want to be a person of love. I don't want to live like the world.